You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I've kept Superintendent Ron Rasmussen on Friday, April 24th for an extended interview. I appreciate you joining me again, Ron, to bring the community an insight into some of the issues that or things that affect our tax dollars.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. I appreciate the opportunity.
So what I'd like to dive in with you on, Ron, is the school voucher system, because it's getting more and more attention as tax dollars are being allocated toward private schools, and our constituents are concerned about where their tax dollars are going. So give us a brief overview of how that works for WRPS.
Okay. Give you a little background, a little bit on the Wisconsin Choice Program, and I'm by far not an expert in the history of it, but Choice, or the school voucher program is what more people call it, originated in Milwaukee in the 1990s. To provide students an opportunity, a choice, obviously, hence the name, to attend private schools within the Milwaukee area. That program was later expanded into further parts of southeast Wisconsin, I believe into Kenosha and Racine, and then later expanded to the Wisconsin Choice Program, Parental Choice Program across the state. Really, where WRPS becomes involved in the Choice Program is students within our physical boundaries of our school district can enroll themselves in a school that participates in the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program. And there's a variety of schools and parochial school districts that participate within that program. How it impacts us with WRPS, this past fall, which is the most recent data I have for our school district, we had 393 students that live within the physical boundaries of our district that attend schools that participate as part of the Choice Program. We have excellent partners in our community. The two, when you think of our Wisconsin Rapids community, is the Assumption Catholic School System, as well as Emmanuel Lutheran, do both participate in within the Choice Program. Both excellent partners with us. We meet frequently. We share kids. We share some resources, all of that back and forth. And we also know that many of the students are at Emmanuel will attend Lincoln after they're done with their education at Emmanuel underneath Principal Betts. So that's really our involvement with it, is we have 393 students. The impact upon our community tax dollar-wise is currently how the state funds the Choice Program is it is entirely taxed on the property taxpayers. So we basically have to get a state aid deduction so the state can send money to the Choice schools that participate within the program where our students attend, which impacts our tax levy because we are allowed them to make up that tax difference with that state aid reduction. So this last year, that was approximately just under $4.7 million. That was on the property taxes in the most recent tax statements that people received in December. Our district this last year taxed approximately $25.7 million to fund our operations, or about 25% of our operations. So about 18 cents for every dollar that a taxpayer within our district paid on their property taxes. Never came to WRPS per se, but that was to fund the 393 students that is participating in the Choice Program.
Okay. And once those tax dollars are taken out of WRPS's umbrella budget,
yep.
Do they come back?
So really the state says you're able to tax that $4.7 million. I'll just say it's approximate. That's what our number was. I think it was 4.6 something last year. So they take it as a state aid deduction that we don't get that state aid that we're supposed to get. And so the state says, we're not giving you that aid, but you can tax that difference. So that's what every district that participates or has students that attend Choice. So in effect, you're just basically taking those tax dollars and sending it to the state to pay the Choice Program. In our district that has grown, it's more than doubled in the last 6 years. And I think 2020-21, it was just about $2.2 million. That is, as I said, growing to just under $4.7 million. In our district, we're a low revenue district, which means we're set by revenue limits that the state places upon us. So this current school year, is that we spend $11,650 per pupil. That does not include federal aid, any additional grants that we receive, et cetera.
And that's low for the average across the state.
That is lower than the state
average. Which is over 14,000.
Correct. And that's why you have districts such as ours pursuing referendums, because that number was locked in when the state transferred to the current funding formula. Some districts in the state were spending more per student, and others were spending less. And once that was locked in, districts, you could say you could spend 2% more this year. You could spend 3% more. Well, 3% of 15,000 is more than 3% of 10,000. So districts that were really fiscally responsible, which WRPS was, really got hurt when they went to that fixed funding formula. So currently we're at $11,650, expanded from that due to the support of our taxpayers into our school operations now. And if a student attends a choice school in grades K through 8, that transferred money is, I believe, $10,800, so slightly less than a public school student in grades K-8. But in high school, it's over $13,000. So there's a little balancing there. So the choice student receives greater dollar figure than a high school student that currently attends Lincoln. So there's some of those areas that are built into state law, and there's revenue adjustments that occur yearly in that choice figure. That's set by law. I'm not an expert in that area of that part of the law, but those continue to grow as well. It's a issue at the state level that there's a variety of proposals that are out there within the legislature, not only with the school funding formula, but also with the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program of what will occur in the future. It's hard. I think we're a divided state politically. And I don't think we're going to get a lot of resolution right now because of that. And we'll see as legislatures hopefully can collaborate to look at school funding overall within the state and the impact of that.
Well, and to my understanding, there's an enrollment limit right now, but starting in the 26-27 school year, no student enrollment limit would apply to statewide voucher programs. So that opens the door to basically unlimited expansion.
Yes, that is correct. There is unlimited expansion. There are some districts in the state that have hit their limit. Our district did not hit the limit, even though we're in the top 20 for sure, possibly in the top 10 for the students that attend through the voucher program. As I said, we have 393 students that do, and they attend 9 different schools across the state of Wisconsin. They're not only, as I said, our excellent partners with Assumption or Emmanuel, but they're attending a variety of school districts across the state. We have,
because there's a lot of virtual options.
A lot of virtual options. There are 97 students that attend out of those 393 the Milwaukee Academy of Excellence. So there's about, depending if they're an elementary or high school student, I don't know the numbers of where they are. Anywhere probably about $1.1 to $1.3 million that, as I said, that we tax our taxpayers here go towards that program that operates in Milwaukee. So that is an area that when we have tax dollars here with Emmanuel or Assumption, they're going to stay within our community. Those dollars obviously do not stay within our community. And so that's one of the things is we're looking, or legislators are looking at what that means in the future. And as that cap comes off, what will that mean for districts as well? As costs continue to rise, inflation, everybody's pocketbook gets a little tighter. We're all looking at how to maximize resources and what that means across the school, what that means across the state as we're operating really two separate systems, and how that impacts not only the state budget, but also our budget locally.
We're going to pause right here for a moment to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen. We'll be right back, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I've been speaking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District, and I have another question for you, Ron. As an educator, because you have a long history of working in the school district, the researchers have recorded significant learning loss over the last decades among children who started in public school and then moved to private schools using vouchers. What are your feelings on that?
I don't know this. I'll be flat honest. I don't know any of the research on that topic. I know as a public school district, we're required to supply transportation for our partners. So we supply busing transportation. It's one of the reasons that we're looking at trying to consolidate our school calendars a little better. So those tax dollars can be saved because Assumption generally begins their school year earlier than us at WRPS. And so WRPS does supply that busing for Assumption students for that time because we're required to by state law. We supply Title I services, speech and language services, depending upon need to our parochial partners as well within our school district. And those are good partnerships. We meet throughout the year, generally beginning of the school year, and we're meeting here in about 2 or 3 weeks to really discuss how the school year went. We know we're stronger when our community is stronger, and so that's important for us as well. Academically, since COVID, we know that students' academics have declined, and we're beginning to see a change in that. Currently, we're with our current tests in the public schools. I know at our high school students, we're seeing growth in those areas as well for our most recent state assessments that we're getting back that were just taken in March. So we're excited about seeing that growth occurring. I think during COVID, we did our best under unfortunate circumstances that none of us knew how to navigate. And we're just trying to figure out each day as we went through. And that's the importance of us continuing to try to grow and to meet those student needs where they are. And we're seeing it socially and emotionally when students are coming to us in kindergarten and 4K, as I think I talked about earlier in the interview when we were here with me about the importance of playgrounds and all of that.
Yes.
And just really our community partners and working with them and learning what it's like just to play in a playground and all those soft skills are important. But I'm not as familiar, as you said, with the research on some of that. I just know that we're all attempting to try to have students follow their dreams and passions and grow academically as much as we can.
Well, some proponents for the school voucher system argue that the competition improves public schools and parental choice is a fundamental right. Do you think that fosters some competition for public schools to try to keep kids in the district?
Yeah, I think we're all trying to do what's best for kids every single day. I come into my office or when I was in the building, my office there, or when I was a teacher in the classroom, my classroom is I want to provide the best opportunity for those kids in front of me every single day. When I'm in our classrooms today, I want to provide the best opportunity for our kids. I'd be lying if I didn't say when standardized test scores came out or school report cards that I didn't look at Stevens Point or Marshfield or our parochial school districts as schools as well. I think you always want to do your best and you want your students to do their best. It's one of the things that we're blessed, though, that our students are much more than a report card that the state gives us. There's so much more that is part of a student experience that we all look back on when we go think back to high school. We may think of our drama or the basketball team or the football team or what I did in auto shop or that project I made in Woods. And those are things that are not tested on a school report card. They're not tested, you know, when you take that bubble sheet, which many of us are familiar with. But
yes, now, the bubble sheet.
The bubble sheets or now what the computer-based assessments. And so those are the things that we look at trying to provide opportunities for students. And one of those opportunities is coming up with at Lincoln is the new Associate's Business Degree partnership with Midstate, that students before they graduate will have that opportunity to have that business degree for them. And we're unique. There's only two of us in the Midstate region that will have that opportunity going forth currently. And so when you talk competition, it's not only necessarily that you're looking at that, you're continuing to try to grow your opportunities so students want to be part of your district and part of your school. And you try to explore those partnerships to provide those opportunities for students as much as we can.
And it sounds like the competition is more like how best can we give opportunities to students?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So we relatively recently at Lincoln have a new auto teacher, and we're going to be ASE certified within our auto shop here very in the near future. So those students will be able to have those opportunities when they graduate from Lincoln to be ASE certified. If you go on our social media relatively recently, you'll see a variety of students that are now CNC HAS certified. So that's, I think, the biggest change in education. And if you want to say competition that has been born by the voucher system is just maybe a greater focus on some of those other areas other than just your math score or your English score. But what is the business community asking us for students to have when they graduate.
Right. What jobs do we need filled?
What jobs do we need to fill? And I think that's even changing more rapidly right now with the growth of AI. You know, in the news last week, you know, Facebook laying off or Meta laying off 8,000 individuals, and they're stating that's all going to AI. So what does that mean for us and our economy to provide students the skills so they don't graduate from us or don't graduate from a four-year institution and then try to move into those fields and those jobs are not existing anymore? So with that growth of AI, it's expanding so quickly, and education and our systems are not as adept at adapting that quickly because you have your state requirements, you need to do this and you need to do this. But what does that mean? Well, how do we transfer those skills that we're currently having with our students and going forth that they can have that transferability moving forth? So when we talk about competition, I don't necessarily say it's all because of the voucher program or the choice program. I think it's really that competition sometimes within ourselves of trying to provide that best experience for our students. And when we think of education, we all go back to, well, school was like that when I was a kid. And that's where our, and we, I don't blame anyone. I don't know other jobs that other people do as well. So I have a limited experience of knowing what those jobs are like. And so we all revert back to what we know. And so that growth or that change in mindset about how are we going to continue to educate students forth, yeah, there's a competition there because we want everyone to do their best in the future.
Well, and one of the things you mentioned, all of those other opportunities that you have at public school or specifically at Lincoln that would be a little harder to maybe have access to if you're attending a virtual school, they don't necessarily have a shops class where you
can go. Those hands-on experiences are so important. So my son is in college for aviation. Why? Because there's an aviation class at Lincoln that piqued his interest. And one of the things of being a larger comprehensive high school is there are just some of those more opportunities that students in a smaller environment don't have that opportunity. They don't have that aviation course that will pique that interest. And that's one of the things that I just glow about all the time about Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools is just continuing to showcase those areas of interest, be it in auto or woods or aviation.
Or the partnership with Mid-State.
Partnerships with Mid-State or our local community. We have 95 students approximately in work experience or youth apprenticeship opportunities. So really within that local business community, working with those businesses, gaining that real life experience on the job, and then going, all right, yeah, I really want to pursue this. I'm going to go to Mid-State for my two-year degree in whatever it may be.
With potentially already credits earned.
All credits earned, exactly. And so those are the benefits. As I said, last year in last year's graduating class, I know we had two students at Lincoln. One graduated with 51 college credits and one with 47 at their institutions when they moved to higher ed this year. So they're almost junior status coming in as freshmen into those institutions. And that's really somewhat due to the dedication of our faculty as well, because in order to have those credits, our faculty have had to go above and beyond and get their certifications from the Higher Education Commission. And those are new opportunities, probably really, to be flat honest, in the last 10 years when I started teaching, was it even thought of? And we're lucky with this new business partnership with Mid-State on the associate's degree. Those students will have that degree by the time they graduate. And I'm also a member of the Mid-State Technical Board. And Mid-State, we just signed an agreement with Yavapai College in Arizona. Those students will be able to go one more year and they'll have their full bachelor's degree.
Wow.
So these students who graduate from Lincoln who participate in this program can be 19, 20 years old and they'll have their business degree.
And potentially less student debt.
That's the kicker in all of this. And as I said, we're kind of lucky within the support of our taxpayers within our community to provide those opportunities for students. And we'll hopefully, as you said, have less debt for families in the future.
Wonderful. Well, I very much appreciate you taking the extra time to talk with me about this today, Ron.
All right. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Superintendent Ron Rasmussen of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School District. And I want to thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.